The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalms 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my line down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. Let us pray. How precious, our Father, is Thy Word to our heart. As we have meditated upon this portion throughout the day, and to know that Thou art with us, and know us, and understand us, and yet You love us, and we just praise Thee and thank Thee for it. And so as we endeavor to preach Thy precious Word today, we do pray that Thou wilt fill us to overflowing with Thy Spirit. We'll be under His complete control and authority, and that Thy Spirit will take the Word home to each and every heart. O Lord, bless our radio audience, have mercy upon them, and turn each and every one of them unto Thee, is our prayer in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Glory to His name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Heart was the blood of Christ.
Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name, glory to his name.
Say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our hearts have been greatly encouraged in preaching the Word of God as it is to men as they are, as we hear of God's dealings in your heart, and I praise God for it. Would you like to be remembered in our prayer meeting daily? Here in our offices, every morning between 8 and 9, we bring the radio ministry. All the ministries that God's given to us before His throne of grace and pray for the individual needs and those who have written in asking us for prayer. We'd like you to put this ministry on your prayer list, and we would like to include your name as we pray each day. Write us if we can help you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We began a series of messages today on the subject, God's sovereignty in salvation. This blessed and glorious truth, as revealed in God's holy word, has been upon my heart much lately, and I feel impressed to preach upon it at this time. Dear friend, to me there is no truth in God's word that is any more precious than this blessed truth of God's sovereignty in salvation. And I believe it will be to you when we have finished this series of messages. You see, this is a teaching, a truth that glorifies God. I believe it exalts His holy and righteous name, that gives Him honor, magnifies His grace, and truly proclaims His supremacy and shows forth His power to all the universe. It is a truth to declare that God is on the throne, working everything after the counsel of His own will. It is a truth that magnifies all of His attributes, from His holiness to His wrath, and gives great grounds for praise and thanksgiving from those who are made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God abounds with scriptural proof that sets forth this glorious God, the sovereign God of the Bible, who rules and reigns over all this universe today, and who has all things under His control, from the President of these United States to the Arabian oil sheik, and even to the sparrow who flies in the sky and the fish that swims in the deepest ocean. You see, Proverbs 21:1 tells us that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water He turneth it whithersoever He will. Brother David, king of Israel, in writing in 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, brings out this gracious truth as he praised God from his heart, that He was the sovereign God of the universe. Listen to what he said. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all in the heaven and all in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all, and Thou reignest over all. What precious words! Did you catch the beauty and the glory that is in those precious words? How our great God, the God of the Bible, is lifted up, and it shows forth that our living God is right now reigning over all His universe, over all His creation, and that He is Lord over all. What a comfort! I said, what a comfort to the hearts of God's people is this great truth in these days in which we are living. But all things seems to be topsy-turvy, and justice goes begging in the streets, and men do not know what's coming upon the earth, and their hearts are failed in them for fear what's coming. And how blessed it is that God's child and those who understand and know God's word in days like these can say, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and all that is in the earth is thine. And thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Therefore, is this not a great truth that each and every one of God's blood-bought children should earnestly contend for? That God is King, Lord over all, in the works of His own hands. That God sits upon the throne of His universe and has the right as King and Lord to sit upon that throne and do as He pleases. You see, dear friend, this is the way that the Bible pictures our sovereign God. He says in Isaiah 46:10, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure, all my pleasure. Again, it is said in Daniel 4:35, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand. Again, in Psalms 135:6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. He is God. Satan's not ruling and reigning today. Our Lord is ruling and reigning. Satan can have no more power than God allows him to have. No man upon this earth can have any more power than God allows him to have. God is ruling and reigning. He is sovereign over all. And my friend, because of this, then I for one rejoice in God's absolute sovereignty, for it means that God is God in fact as well as in name, that He is on the throne of the universe directing all things, working all things after the counsel of His own will, according to Ephesians 1:11. And here to me is a sure resting place in Christ for my heart and for my life. For I know that the events of my life are neither the product of blind fate nor the result of capricious chance, but I know that every detail of it was ordained from all eternity and is right now ordered by the living and reigning God. Well, you see, dear friend, the Bible says that not a hair of my head can be touched without His permission, and also that my times are in His hands, according to Psalms 31:15. So what assurance this is to my heart, and not only to mine, but to all of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth, and who have bowed to the authority of God's blessed, holy, and righteous Word. With this introduction, let us look then at our subject, which will be engaging our attention for the next few weeks on this broadcast. As I said, our subject is God's sovereignty and salvation. In approaching our subject, I feel led to go into it showing God's order in salvation as it is revealed in God's Word and as God has outlined it and it has come down to us. You see, the Lord has been pleased to open up this truth to our hearts from His Word in such a way that we might understand it and rejoice in so great salvation that He has been pleased to give to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us keep in mind that God's salvation in Christ comes to us as a free gift of sovereign grace, and that this elective grace springs from the fountainhead of God's everlasting love. Listen to me now. I said that salvation in Christ comes to us as a free gift of sovereign grace, and that this elective grace springs from the fountainhead of God's everlasting love through the blood of the everlasting salvation, which is provided an everlasting salvation through the blood of that everlasting covenant by which God has bound Himself to undertake for those for whom Christ died. You see, these three gracious truths concerning God's everlasting salvation in Christ is brought out in these scriptures. Listen. In Jeremiah 31 and 3 we read, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You see, God's love toward His people, toward His elect, is an everlasting love. It had no beginning, and it will have no end. Now listen to Isaiah 45:17. "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." Here we find that the salvation that God gives us in Christ is everlasting. It had no beginning, and it has no end. For it is eternal as God is eternal. Then look at Hebrews 13:20, where we find these words, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." We see here then that God has a covenant of grace, and that it is an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and cannot be broken. For He who made it is truth and cannot lie, and omnipotent, and therefore has the power to carry it out in all of its many details. It is an everlasting love, an everlasting salvation, made with an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. So we see then that God's love for sinners is from everlasting to everlasting, which shows us that in the mind of God, every sinner whom God ever saves, He knew that sinner in eternity. He loved that sinner in eternity. He elected him in eternity. And He calls him in time and makes him His very own. These truths are set forth in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 34 in these precious words. Will you listen to God's word? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." And then the question is asked, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then he asks another question. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And then who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And then again, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Therefore, we would understand from these scriptures that the sinners for whom Christ died have been the object of God's love from eternity. Brother, this is shouting grounds. This is grounds of assurance, grounds of praise to my heart. And I, for one, praise God for it. Further, not only has God loved these elect sinners from eternity, but He has loved them with an everlasting salvation. You see, dear friend, the salvation of sinners dates back to the cycles of eternity. For salvation was not an afterthought with God, for He knew what was going to happen, and He prepared for it. You see, according to Revelation 13:8, and 1 Peter 1, 13 and 20, we are told that Christ was slain for His people before the foundation of the world. Listen to these scriptures in 1 Peter. "You know that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, for He was a lamb that was without blemish and without spot, who was verily ordained before the foundation of the world. For what reason? That He might be manifest in these last times for us." So God purposed and planned in eternity the salvation that He would give unto His people. Then we notice that God's everlasting covenant, which was made with the Lord Jesus Christ, who sealed it with His precious blood at Calvary by the eternal Spirit, dates back in the council of the Godhead before time was ever began. In other words, the everlasting covenant that God made with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit for my soul and with the soul of every one of His elect dates back to the councils of the Godhead before time ever began. Therefore, every sinner who is ever saved was an object of God's love, a recipient of God's salvation, and a beneficiary of God's covenant with Christ before man was ever created. Oh, how precious this is, this precious truth, and how it is brought out in 2 Timothy 1:9 in these words, that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. My dear friend, this to me is grounds for praise and thanksgiving, that I have been loved of God in Christ before the world began, and have been an object of His grace before I was born. This humbles me at the feet of God, crying, "Oh Lord, why me? Why have You done all of this for me when I deserve nothing but hell?" To go further, and to open up this truth a little more and shed more light upon it, let us, before we close this message today, show you God's golden chain, as I call it. A golden chain made up of 8 links, which reach from eternity past to eternity future, and shows God's order of our salvation as it came down to His elect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you listen? Remember that if any one of these links were left out or broken, the whole fabric of our salvation would fall, because they all rise or fall together. We won't be able to go into them in detail today, but I just wanted to give them out to you, and we'll go to them in detail in our upcoming messages. First in God's order is set forth in His Word is His counsel or His decrees. You see, Scripture set forth that God works all things after the counsel of His own will, Ephesians 1:11. And there in that counsel in eternity, He decreed all that He would do in creation and in salvation. Listen to Isaiah 46:9-10. "I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." An example of this is recorded in Acts 2:23-24, where Brother Peter on the day of Pentecost told the Jews that they had killed God's Christ because He had been delivered to them by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, they had carried out what God had decreed in His counsel would come to pass in time, that Christ would die upon the cross for poor sinners. Are you listening? I want you to get it. The second link in our golden chain is set forth in God's Word is His foreknowledge. We read in 1 Peter 1:2 these words, that all the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia in verse 1, had been elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, God's foreknowledge always refers to God's foreknowing persons, not events. Also, God foreknows what will be, because He has decreed what shall be, according to Ephesians 1:11 and Acts 2:23. The third link in our golden chain is set forth in God's Word is His election of grace. This is set forth in many places in His Word, but one Scripture will be sufficient for today. Let us look at Ephesians 1:3-4. Where we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." You see, this election of grace, according to Romans 11:5, means that God chose before the foundation of the world a certain number out of Adam's condemned and doomed race, a number to be saved that no man could number of all out of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, according to Revelation 7:9, who would be the objects of his redeeming love and grace for eternity. In our next message, the Lord willing, we will go into the basis of this election and show why it was necessary. The fourth link in our golden chain is set forth in God's holy word is God's predestination. In Ephesians 1:11, we read that we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You see, this word predestination means that God has ordered all the means and ways that his people would hear and receive the gospel of the grace of God in Christ and all the events in their lives, according to Ephesians 1:4 and Romans 8:29-30. The fifth link in our golden chain is set forth in God's word in his effectual calling. You see, this call of God to salvation for his elect is a calling that is effectual and cannot be resisted. In Romans 8:30, it flows, we have found that it flows out of God's predestination and is issued by the Holy Spirit from the Word of God and results in the new birth. My dear friend, God's Word calls it a holy calling, a high calling, a calling out of darkness, a calling unto fellowship in Christ. For it is a calling of grace and is received and obeyed by all of God's elect. The sixth link in our golden chain is set forth in God's Word. It is justification. And under this blessed subject comes in repentance and faith and the setting free of the condemned sinner by the grace of God. The seventh link in our golden chain is sanctification. For to whom God gives justification, he gives sanctification. For it is by sanctification that we know our justification, because God causes us by his Spirit to walk in righteousness and true holiness. And then the eighth and last link in God's holy word is glorification, for this is the end of it all, when we shall be like Christ in heaven with our new bodies, and then salvation in Christ for his people will be complete. We're going to elaborate upon all of this foundation on which we've laid in our message today in our next seven messages by the grace of God as he gives them unto us and delivers them to your soul. And I pray that you will listen and you'll write for this series of messages, that you might have them there to pursue in the quietness of your own home. I want you to get these truths. They're the blessed truths of God's Word, and they certainly have blessed my heart over these many years. Remember, our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.